Amen. Thank you. Man, I know you're not here with us, but in your homes, wherever you're watching this, you can give it up for our worship team. They've been so incredible through this whole season that we've been in as a church. And let me let you in on a little thing as we continue God Help Us week two. So at the beginning of this whole corona, we tried to film on Sunday morning and live stream right to you, and there was some technical complications with that. So then we started to do it on Saturday so we'd have time to, like, you know, work out the kinks. And this particular week, we were filming on Thursday night. So what that means is while you're doing what you're doing Thursday night, right now as I'm preaching, the NFL draft is taking place. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the Carolina Panthers, the adopted team of Relentless Church, is making our pick. So I think that's just God's, you know, providence that we called this series God Help Us. I think that's an appropriate way to start this message by just, on behalf of Panther Nation, God help us get the right young man who's going to be the right fit for our squad and our team and our new coach and our state and all that that's going to represent. So we just ask you to bless that. I have put my phone away. Now, I know how this works, right? Because I watch on Sunday morning with my family. I know that people are a little more free, right, to talk and to get up and go use the bathroom and mess around and mess with this and that. So I thought about, you know what? If you're going to do that at home, I'm going to do that while I preach. And I was going to have my phone up here and just kind of seeing the thing. And then when they got a pick, we would stop and pray for the name that we picked. And I don't know who that is at this point. My lean was towards the young man from Clemson, Simmons, or the young man from Auburn, Derek Brown. That's kind of what I'm trusting God and just God help us. That's all I'm saying. But I didn't bring my phone up here. Some of you were starting to text me even about the draft during the worship service. So I had to put that away because we got some stuff to get to this morning. This series is probably the most challenging series we've ever walked through as a church. I joked last week that maybe it's good that we're not here live together because then you can't attack me physically as I preach. And that was a joke, sort of. But some of this stuff is hard to sort through. But as we said last week, we are seeking a different kingdom, right? There's a kingdom that Jesus came and we celebrated it on Easter, but it's so much bigger than Easter. It's this revolution that changed everything, and we are building and a part of this revolution. And in that, Jesus made it clear. If you missed that last week, please go back and check out the first week of God Help Us, because the whole point was Jesus saying, man, I got a kingdom and it's not of this world, right? So I was looking back this week. We've been so blessed. Since the beginning of Relentless Church 5 years ago, we've baptized 76 people, right? That's 76 people who decided to not make themselves the king of their own lives, but to serve the true risen Jesus King. They are allegiant to one king and one kingdom, and that is the kingdom of Jesus. So that's not just 76, that's the ones we've gotten to baptize, but there's many people that are connected to Relentless Church who have made that same decision to follow one king and one king alone. And we've got people watching and in our church, and we're so thankful for them that we call them untold and unconvinced. They're still seeking if Jesus is who we say he is or who Scripture says he is, and they wouldn't call him king yet, but they're interested, right? Well, here's what's beautiful. Everybody that would fit into any of those categories, we can all agree on something today. We can all agree that life is precious, right? Like, no, I haven't met someone who would say, nah, I don't believe that. And especially in this corona season, right, we're starting to understand that we do probably take some things for granted that God would want us not to. In fact, it's been very clear that we don't want to get back to normal, right? We want some things to get back to normal, but as far as Relentless Church and Jesus Global Church, we don't want to go back to how things were before, because we were probably taking some things for granted that God wants us to never take for granted again. And maybe part of that is just the simple, profound, amazing preciousness of life. So I told you this was a controversial series, right? And well, what's controversial about life being precious? Well, we'll get to that, but let me start with this. the reality that the issue of life, two things. One, the issue of life is more than political. I can't say it's not political because it's been politicized, but at Relentless Church, this is not a political issue. We're talking about life, right? So I don't want us to view or hear this through the lens of politics, right? It's going to mess us up. And if you want more about that, go back to last week. And second, the issue of life, as a church, we're not going to fit into people's boxes, right? There is a landscape, and it's political, and it's based on power, and they want everybody to fit into this side, or this view, or that view, and it's people that are part of a kingdom of Jesus, not of this world, on this issue, or a whole bunch of others, we're not going to fit into the boxes that men want us, humanity want us to fit into. Let's go all the way back to the very first chapter in the Bible. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." We were created in God's image. Right? There's something about all that God created, because he created the birds and the animals and the vegetation and the trees before, and then he gets to male and female, and there's something different about us as humans in the way God created us that's different than everything else, and that's hard to describe, but the essence of it is that we bear the image of God. That in a way that no other creatures or species or creation, in a way that nothing else does, we bear and reflect the core of who God is. He put something in us as humans that he didn't put in any of the rest of his creation. And I don't have to know you, your age, your views, your political party, or your faith to know and say confidently, you are created in the image of God. That's enormous, right? Some of you have heard that your whole life, and you could just go in one ear and out the other. Stop for a second. You were created specifically by a creator in his image. All of you, you say, "I don't even believe in God, Pastor. I'm a proud, bold atheist." That's cool. You're created in the image of a God you don't believe in. Right? That is across the board 100%. You cannot find a person that was not handcrafted strategically, intimately, detailed, created by God, not just by God as like a factory, you know, going by cookie cutter, boom, next person. No, that you were created specifically, intricately designed by your creator who knows everything about you and more than you even know yourself. That's huge. And what a unifying thing that we all, even wherever you're at on Jesus, we all have the same source. We all came from the same source of life, the one true creator, Father, God. Next chapter in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says that the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground. Check this out. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. A lot of the hardness of this series and what we did last week and what we're doing next week, it's built on the authority and what gives God the authority to tell you or me or anything. He has the authority because he has the ability to do what no one else does, to create life. The life that you have in your lungs right now, it's from God. It's a gift. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Genesis, Paul wrote this or said this to a group of people in Athens in Acts 17. He's preaching and he says, verse 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." All mankind receives life from one unifying source, the God of heaven and earth. Now, we all have that in common. all people are made in God's image. If we would just believe that, this world would change in a hurry. Second, all people are not in a covenant relationship with this God creator. All people are created in his image, but then it is by faith, if you choose to surrender your life to him and make him king of your life, then you begin this covenant relationship with God. So everybody is made in his image, but everybody does not choose to be in a covenant relationship with their creator. So that can kind of sound messed up, right? It can sound like, oh, we got the insiders, right? The Christians, and they get a relationship with God. And then you got everybody else, right? The bad people or the whatevers. And that's not how Scripture speaks about it, right? That's not our heart as a church. Here's what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5. It says that when you are blessed to be given faith and an opportunity to know the truth and be told and convinced, and you give your life to Jesus, now you've been reconciled to God, and now God gives you, if you're listening to this and you say, I believe, trust, and follow Jesus, this is about you, 2 Corinthians 5. Now you have been given, it's not for pastors, it's for any Christian, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That now it says that God makes his appeal to those that are created in his image, designed to follow and serve him, but have yet to be in relationship with him. God makes his appeal. He reaches out to them through us. That we're his ambassadors. Right? You know what an ambassador is. You represent the king in a foreign land. That you, wherever you are, whoever you're quarantining with, wherever you're going, whatever you're about, however old you are an ambassador for Jesus. That people that are made in his image would know that they're made to be in relationship with him. That's what life is about. And there's not a whole lot of controversy in anything I've said so far. But then we get into a different level when we start to ask the question of this life that God gives us and is so precious, when does it begin? And I know that's not a simple question, and there's a lot of scriptures that speak to this in different ways. I'm just going to look at one that seems to sum up God's heart on this the most clear. It comes from Psalm 139. I'll start in verse 13. The psalmist, powered by the Holy Spirit, said this: For you, God, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Before you or I lived a day, God was already working on us, and it says that he knitted us. He specifically spent time to piece us together physically and our DNA and all that in our mother's womb. Which brings us, right, to a subject that many don't want to talk about in church or anywhere else, the subject of abortion. This message is not all about abortion, it's about life, but how can I preach this message and not touch on this? And our idea in this series, it's really a continuation of our Easter series, this revolution that Jesus created, and we believe that Jesus is so real and so present and so active in this ongoing revolution that the things in our society that are hot button controversial issues like this, we don't need to ignore them because we can trust Jesus in them. But it's not easy, right? We've been praying, God, help us, even as you hear. Even as I say the word abortion, right, that I know for some of you there's already some tension and some friction in your heart. The statistics are not hard to find. In our country, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 abortions happen every day. 2,000 or 3,000 abortions in America every day. God help us. Right? When we hear the phrase sometimes in life and church of we should be a voice for the voiceless, there is no better definition of the voiceless than the unborn. This is obviously a hugely personal issue to me. I have three kids, right? Two of them, my wife and I adopted, right? So we were so blessed. I can't believe you guys that know my kids. I got my two oldest kids are going to turn 16 this year in 2020. It's unbelievable. Those two kids, Jackson and Mia, about 16 years ago, there was two birth mothers that were considering what to do, and they made a decision to give birth and to allow the babies they carry to be adopted. Man, I just thank God. The more I get older and the more I think about that, the more, like, it's the most sacrificial. We talk about the sacrificial love of Jesus on the cross, like to carry a baby, to give birth to a baby, and then to allow that baby to be adopted for the baby's best possible life. Like, it's such a beautiful emotional decision of love that we thank God for and we thank those birth mothers for. Now, I say all that because any of you, no matter where you stand, any of you that know my kids, Jackson and Mia, none of you would come and say, hey, I don't think they had the right to live. Right? No, nobody would say that, not to my face, but I don't even think you would think that. Right? So we get so focused on the Supreme Court or the law of the land, and I'm not saying that's unimportant. It's not unimportant at all, but let's just come down to the preciousness of life and agree that my kids, once you put a name and a face on it, like, it's pretty easy to agree. Yes, they had the right to live. There's all kinds of scenarios that people throw out there, and man, let's not go to the scenario you hear often is, man, what if a woman's giving birth and she could die, and the doctor says, hey, to the husband, hey, your wife is gonna die if we don't abort the baby, right? For Jesus-loving people, that's not a situation that we want to make a law about. Right? It's just way more complicated than that. We don't want to make a law of what I have to do if I have to choose between a baby that's in my wife's stomach and my wife, and one of them is going to make it, and maybe both of them are not going to make it, and I got to make a decision on the spot. What we don't want in that moment is a law. We want to beg for God to help us and give wisdom, and I don't know what is the right. It depends on all kinds of details and stuff. We don't have to put ourselves in these two camps, and I believe this, and this is always right. It's like, let's just listen to Jesus and believe that nobody wins when we rank one life over another. When it comes to those situations that do happen, nobody wins when we rank one life over another. But let me just tell you what I found, and maybe you would not fit into this. I don't know. I've had a lot of conversations over the years. Most humans, most people, whatever they stand politically, when I have a conversation and they're not threatened, these people are not threatened, they're not insulted, they don't feel attacked, when they're confronted with the science of what abortion is, and I'm not going to spend time today walking you through the details of, but you need to know, you need to do your own research of what this procedure really, what really happens in 2020 when abortion takes place. Once they're confronted with the scientific facts, with the medical facts of how old, how far advanced a fetus is when it has heartbeat and brain waves and all those kind of things, when they see the medical facts, the scientific facts, when they're introduced to the emotional trauma that men and women post-abortion go through, and the cost and what that does inside of a person, and then if they are people of faith, when they are exposed to scripture like Psalm 119, that God says that when he talks about life, he's not talking about life after birth, that he views life as being alive in the womb. When most people, when you don't come at them, you know, aggressively, and you just present these different things, most people, they want to take a step towards life.
They do. Like, people are good people. Like, quit trying to make people that disagree with you, like, evil. Like, most people want to step towards life, but you know what stops them? Is people think, if I step towards life as a position, then I'm going to be guilty by association, and my experience with people of that view, they tend to be mean or condemning, or I've got to sign on to a bunch of other junk that I don't want to put my name beside, so they're hesitant to take steps towards life because of how it might paint them politically. And that's messed up. And the other thing that keeps people from coming towards life is they say, okay, I get all that, but what about the mother? What about the mother? And I think in this God Help Us series, I want to speak to what about the mother. Here's what the revolutionary love of Jesus says to a woman who's scared and hurting and not sure what to do with her pregnancy. We would say that God has allowed supernatural, amazing life to be growing inside of you. Right? Despite and horrible or great or all kinds of circumstances, there is life that God has allowed, and that life is precious because the source of that life is God. And we would say to that woman, no matter how old or where or what color her skin is, we would say, we love you because you are created in the image of God. We have the same source. We have the same humanity, and the God of creation and Jesus on the cross has developed a love for you. We want not just what's best for your baby. We want what's best for you. And if you choose to keep this baby and raise this baby as a single parent or with the father or whatever you do, we as a church are going to walk beside you because it's not going to be easy, right? Parenting is hard to begin with, but in these situations, it's so hard. You're going to need some people that are going to be a community to support you in all kinds of ways. And we love you enough to walk with you, not just in the pregnancy, but after the birth. And if you would instead make a decision that you want to carry this baby as hard as it might be, but you want to then allow parents that have been probably praying for years about adoption, and you would make the sacrificial, loving decision to allow someone else to adopt and raise your baby as their own, we would cheer for you and encourage you and stay with you and love you before, during, and after such an amazing decision. And if you were to make the decision to abort the baby, that we as the Church of Jesus Christ would say to you, we love you and we're going to walk with you through a decision that, yes, we may disagree with, but that's not going to keep us from loving you on the front end, in the middle, and post. After the decision, we will continue to walk with you in love and be whatever you might need us to be. That's what we say to the woman. See, it's not a multiple choice test where you got to pick A, B, C, or D. In an abortion, there's a woman involved, there's a man involved, there's a doctor involved, there's a baby involved, right? And A, B, C, or D. And a lot of times our political climate makes us choose who's the enemy, who's the bad guy, who's the good guy, who are you for? We're for Jesus, and Jesus is for all of us. So we don't have to pick A, B, C, or D. We can love the doctor, love the father, love the mother, and love the baby. We don't have to pick praise God, because life is precious, not just the young life, right? Not just your life, right? Your life is precious, but if your life is precious, then so is the life of someone who disagrees with you. All life is precious. There's no supernatural revolution, Jesus, Holy Spirit in agreeing with people that already agree with you. Right? That's not what the Church of Jesus is about. That's easy, right? You can have people that already see things the same way and get them to agree. Well, they already agree. There's no work involved. The Church of Jesus is proven to be real and true and powerful when people come into a room or a church or a community and they see something that is so intense and so emotional like this from completely different sides, and the Holy Spirit unites them in Jesus. Do they see it the exact same way? No, but they love each other and they find a way. Even though we don't see this exactly the same, we can find a way to love the people, because the people in the world that are hurting, the pregnant teenager down the road, she doesn't need us to agree. She needs somebody to love her. If we would have spent 1/10 of the energy in the argument about abortion in loving the people that are considering abortion, things would be different. And obviously, as a man, I can't imagine being in that spot. The pressure from family, or worse, when there is no family and you're all alone, the shame, the financial pressure, the family pressure, the future, the never planned to be in this position, the heartbreak of a relationship, if you're all alone for the father's gone and out of the picture, like, I can't imagine all the emotions and the decisions. And I just would, what I do know for sure is that's not something you want to walk through alone. And the way we love people is what earns us the right to walk with them when they need it most. And to the woman who's in that spot, man, we would love to connect you with ministry partners and to connect you with our church. And even in Corona and quarantine, man, we'd love to love you through your pregnancy if you're in that place. And I know it's true in our church and probably every church, right? There are women in our church that recently or maybe decades ago, you've had an abortion. Please hear from my heart, and I believe it's the heart of God. There is forgiveness in everything, and there's forgiveness in abortion. If there's not forgiveness for abortions, then there's not forgiveness for anything. That's the power of the cross. Your shame and the trauma and all that goes with that. Like, if you've walked that path, there is complete forgiveness where you can come before God and you can sing songs that we just sang, and you can have no shame and no cloud and no guilt. Like, it's over. Jesus died for it. He freed you, and he does not want you to carry it. You can have full forgiveness and freedom no matter what you've done. That's the real, right? That's the gospel-centered, right? We're gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. My fear in our country is that a lot of hurting women have heard the message of condemnation and how bad abortion is without ever hearing the hope and freedom pre- and post-decisions that we make. Now, as near and dear as this issue is to my life, my heart, my family, it's been near and dear to me for 30-some years. Life is much bigger than just talking about abortion. Much bigger. Right? And I tried to craft this message and say, and I just found this clip from a pastor I have tons of respect for. His name's Dr. Leonce Crump down in Atlanta. And he says in about 2 minutes what I wanted to say, but just smoother and better than I could. So he's going to help us get the rest of the way. So check out Dr. Crump.
When you cast human identity in terms of being made in the image of God, being fatherly, then I don't know how social justice for the unborn is not an issue at the forefront of every faithful gospel. Here's my problem with the subject. There was a little cartoon on Facebook about a year ago, and it was a side by side. And one, there were men in suits talking to this pregnant woman, speaking to her son, saying, "We love you, we love you, we will fight for you, we will do anything for you." And then picture by it was the woman holding the hand of a 2-year-old, side by side, you know, saying, "Men in suits, you butcher, you welfare for you." And so here's the deal. If we're pro-life, we're pro-life. From the womb to the tomb. who's going to take care of them when they're outside of someone's doorstep. One of my jobs when I was working in foster care was to try and get the church in the news. And I heard on more occasions than I care about, well, what's really in this for us? What's in it for you? It's caring for a child. The way the Bible says, it's living out your theology that says that life is so valuable that it is a bullet to murder it. Well, then why would you leave it to brave the wiles of this world without that same love and care and compassion? That's what it means to be pro-life. And if it's only about money, then you only got half the money.
Isn't that good? Church, that's who we are becoming. That's who we want to be at Relentless Church. That phrase, you know, it's not just about unborn babies. It's about the women, the men, the young kids that are being trafficked for sex around the world. And yes, right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, it's about the elderly. It's about the poor. It's about the disadvantaged. It's about the oppressed. It is from the womb to the tomb, we value life as precious with no distinctions about who fits into that and who doesn't. I don't know how you watch church online. You know, if you're sitting on your couch, if you're making breakfast, if you're watching on a laptop in the bed, like whatever. When we watch, we kind of have our spots now. We've been doing it a few weeks and at my house. And I got my chair, right? At least it used to be my chair. Lately, it's been told to me by my family that it's now Ripley's chair. Ripley is my dog. I have a love relationship. I have a dog that my family loves, and his name is Ripley. And he sits, and it's a big old oversized recliner chair, so me and Kelly, my wife, we fit in it well, but not when Ripley's in it. And occasionally, not often, occasionally, I'll allow him to sit with me in the chair. And there was a occasion a few weeks ago where I was sitting in the chair and my dog was with me and my wife walked in and we were getting ready to watch something. I wanted her to sit with me. Kelly, come on, sit with me. And she's like, no, you know, Ripley's, I don't want to move the dog. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be awful, right? To inconvenience a dog who's in a whatever. But I said, hey, listen, come on, we can make this work. So we scooted the dog and I scooted and it wasn't like the most comfortable thing ever, but I made room because that's how bad I wanted my wife to sit with me. Right, in this whole issue of life and not just abortion, but life after, from the womb to the tomb. Like, we want you to hear at Relentless Church, we are willing and we are ready to make room. Right, if you've disagreed adamantly with something I said last week or something I say next week or something I've said today, like you've been, I just don't see it that way. We are willing, because of the cross of Christ, to scoot and to adjust and to hear and to love and to make room, because we're all in process. I don't know anybody my age who thinks the same way on these key issues that they did 20 years ago. Right, because we're maturing and we're growing and we want to make room. We want to see what God said was going to happen, that he was going to unite people that are different around a common revolution of love. I mean, that's us. We've seen it this week, right? This weekend, Georgia is completely, not completely, but in a lot of ways, opening up their economy and opening up businesses. And you can go bowling, and you can go shopping, and you can get a haircut. Oh, in Georgia. And we got some people in our church that would, if they had a house, they would move to Georgia today. They want to be in Georgia. And then there's some people that would be anywhere in the world except for Georgia. And we got some people that just want to drive down there, get a haircut, and come back. Right? And you see it on social media, like they're going at it about why Georgia's stupid and why Georgia's right and what we should do and all this stuff. Like, can we have a church with people that see things so differently? Is there enough in the cross and resurrection and revolution of Jesus to unite those people? That's what this series is about. And on the issue of life, if you, in your heart of hearts, believe that a baby is tissue and not a real human, and that's how you view it, I disagree with you. But I love you. I welcome you. I don't want you to find some other church where they don't talk about this. I want to see God unite and change your heart or change my heart or change our hearts. I want us to be the worldwide, powerful revolution of Jesus, not built on where you stand on an issue, but built on Jesus and Jesus alone. There's room for you. There's a culture right now that wants to make me choose and you choose. Do you love and support the elderly? Right? Or do you love and support the small business owners? Right? We don't have to make those choices. Do you love and support, you know, the hospital workers? Or do you think we should open? Like, who do you, like, I don't have to pick and choose who I love. That's not what revolutionary love does. Where is that pressure to pick a side coming from? Not God. Jesus came and says, hey, when I show up, it's going to be good news for life. It's going to be good news for the hurting. It's going to be good news for the oppressed. It's going to be good news for the poor. And life is valuable in the womb. Yes, it is. And it is equally valuable in a preschool, in a public elementary school, middle school, and in a nursing home. That life is valuable because its source is God. And yes, people are going to draw lines and make factions and try to get you to fit into their boxes, but the people of Jesus are going to say, hey, I'm a part of a kingdom, but it's not of this world. It's not about votes. I get the freedom to love each and everybody on the spectrum because that's who Jesus is, and we represent him. And churches that represent Jesus, they should be good news to life, the life of the unborn, the life of the born, the life of the homeless. I want you to know, church, like, what can you do? I just don't believe that God has taken this Sunday off. I just believe with all my heart that he is calling some of you to take a step this morning now. I don't know what that might be, but I think God's going to put it on your heart. And I want to remind you, we talked about money a little bit and offering last week and just thanked you for how good and blessed we've been. I want you to know that every month we write checks, right? They're not the biggest checks ever as a you know, young, small church, but they're bigger than they were a couple years ago. Every month we write a check to Lost Sheep Ministry. This is Pastor Philip Brickle feeding the homeless and working downtown. He's been there 20 years. Incredible ministry. We don't want to go start something by ourselves when there's people already doing great work and we can walk and stand and give to lost sheep. We give to Hand of Hope, which is the Easter baskets you guys just did. They went to mothers, right, that were pregnant or just gave birth and were alone, or a lot of them are teenage. And this ministry, it is built on the gospel to love these mothers and fathers when they have access to the dads, and they love them in the pregnancy and after the pregnancy. And if they have an abortion or don't have an abortion, they're there to counsel and walk with them, and we get to give money every single month. We've been doing that for years to Hand of Hope. A brand new partner just in 2020. It's right down the road from here. It's called With Love from Jesus. I love that title. You can get on their website, right? We're starting now to give every month financially. They're feeding in amazing scale. Some of us have worked there and seen their ministry. They clothe and feed like on a massive level, just a mile and a half from here. Look them up, right? You can also get involved personally. Right, they don't have as many people coming through their lines because of everything going on, but they're still caring for people. They're still providing paper products and hygiene and toilet paper and food for the least of these in our community. And we stand with them. It's not just about cutting a check. We want to work and partner with these people. And then it's not just about American life. Right? We've told the story before that we just knew we were supposed to have a global footprint and a global impact, but we didn't know where to go, what to do. We just started asking questions and praying and getting connected with ministries, and we had our guidelines. We said, hey, we want to be somewhere that we can get to on this side of the world so we can send our people there and it not cost a fortune to fly. We want to go somewhere that's new because we're a new church. We want to go somewhere where everybody else isn't going. Where's a place that it's hard to get people to go and help people? And we want to go somewhere that's a Spanish-speaking place because we're a multi-ethnic church, and that's, we've got Spanish-speaking people in our church. And all of that, we ended up in La Ceiba, Honduras, and last year, 2019, we sent our first team, and they went and met these kids that are part of a compassion center that get their their medicine and their education and Jesus, all provided by your support, right? So we now have money in our budget for the first time just to bless Honduras and the city and the mission. And apart from that, 58 kids in La Ceiba, Honduras are monthly supported by the people of Relentless. Those lives are precious. It's not, you can't just preach, hey, life is precious and let's get to next week. It's about what are you doing to make sure people that need the love and hope of Jesus, what are we doing to demonstrate how important their lives are? Lost sheep, hand of hope with love from Jesus, Honduras. You can go to our website right now. We'd love this, right? Maybe you need to volunteer with love from Jesus. Maybe, I don't know what God's calling you to do, but that 58, I always have to check to see what the number is because it's growing, because you can go today, get on our website, Global Impact, and you can sponsor a kid in La Ceiba, Honduras today, and that number can be 59 or 60 or 61. We've got a team. Pray for our team. They're planning to go again, a different team to go again and bless and see this ministry in July, but obviously there's a lot up in the air, so we hope to send them again. And now we're starting. We're just having the initial conversations. We know God's doing something at Relentless Church, specifically with foster care. And the parents that step into that ministry and the kids that need to be fostered, and we don't know all the details of that yet, but we know God has been and continues to call us towards that. Maybe God's knocking on the door of your heart in that area. I don't know. I just want to end this message by saying, let's go, church. Let's go. Let's not let politics from last week and really hard issues today and even next Sunday, what we're going to talk about, man, don't ignore them, but let's not let them separate us. God can actually use what we disagree on to somehow unite us, because we can prove to each other, I love you more than where you stand on an issue. And the revolution of Jesus is built on a love that is strong enough to unite us. And what does it unite us on? It unites us on something I think we can come together on. We can come together on. Life is precious. And we want to bless and exalt and encourage life from the womb to the tomb. And we don't have to wait till we get to get back in this room to live that out. We can live that out financially. We can live that out in our prayer life. And yes, there's somebody in your life that you can bless and demonstrate your life is precious. It's a gift from God. You're made in the image of God. And you're not an accident. And he's got a plan. And we believe that, church. And we're believing that God's going to continue to unite us. We can't do it on our own, but our prayer is that he would help us come together like never before. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for life. Of all the things we take for granted, I get up every day and many days I don't consider the miracle of a deep breath. And God, that even when we have different perspectives on different issues, the commonality that we have you in common, that we came from the same source, that every single human was made in your image, that you breathe life into us. And God, you made us for a reason, that we could be rescued and adopted into your family. God, may we, as a church, love life. May we demonstrate that we care about the hurting and the poor and the broken and the alone. May we not get tripped up by politics, but just free ourselves to love anybody and everybody. God, we thank you for Jesus setting the pace and living that out for us and now living it out through us. And God, just speak to hearts. God, for those that need to get online right now and get on with love from Jesus, or get on the website and about Honduras, or make a phone call, or repent, or ask for prayer in our chat room, God, whatever, just pray that we would leave this moment and this service, we would leave it with one thing. We are going to go love somebody. That's our lane. We're going to love, and when people start getting crazy and arguing all that, we're just going to say, you know what? I'm just looking for somebody to love. God, thank you. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week.